Playing Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimke.
Morena, Kirsten, how are you?
I'm good. I'm good.
That is very good to
hear.
That is very good.
Keep saying it.
Yeah, we're good.
I'm good.
I'm actually genuinely very excited. I know probably the person who was the most excited about this particular genre of music was Amelia. When we told Amelia, she actually squealed a little bit, which I've never seen happen before.
And then proceeded to squeal at each track that I read out the title of. She's very excited.
So we are talking about goth today.
Which is funny because some people think, how can you enjoy something that's dark, you know?
And
even this week, you know, thinking of why, but some people find the darkness
comforting.
Yeah, and soothing and interesting. Oh, and one thing I read that I thought was revelatory, that the main, you know, nutshell of goth, and I haven't thought of it this way, is about dare to be different.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
And I was like, oh, right. Like, they're not purposely trying to bug people. It's just trying to find people that do feel this way.
Mm, totally.
To find places of acceptance. And I was like, yeah, I hadn't thought of it as dare to be different.
No, not at all. But it is exactly what the kind of crux of it is, isn't it?
It is for darkly inclined individuals.
Darkly inclined individuals.
But, you know, not everyone's going to respond like Winnie the Pooh and Piglet. Some people are going to be Eeyore, you know?
And that's
nice little analogy there. Yeah. I enjoyed that. I'm going to hit this.
Just straight into it.
There's going to be a lot of people who are already very on board with this.
So what dates are we talking here, Kirsten?
Okay, this track is 1988. So, you know, obviously for the, you know, the origins of goth as, well, the origins are, you know, back to the 18 and 1700s with gothic architecture.
Yeah.
In Germany, and then romantics and gothicism, you know, in the 1800s in literature, and that's still important.
Here we go.
They take themselves in that lineage. But yeah, late 1970s, Bauhaus 1979 released a track kind of considered the OG goth.
Oh, really?
But it's then in the 80s where you kind of get the meat. Yeah.
So did you say?
Yes,
the meat of goths.
Goth never died.
No. Here we go. Got to say, okay, so this track, first of all, for anybody who's not familiar, is Sisters of Mercy with This Corrosion. It's 9 minutes long as well, which is pretty epic. And I've got to say, we have a lot of goth listeners at BFM, and they're already texting in. When you say goths, do you mean Visigoths or Ostrogoths?
Oh no.
Well, the Austria would be from Austria, I'm just guessing. So yeah, no, apparently I'm wrong. It goes back to 1200 AD. So even farther back, that's your Visigoths and your earlier ones. But then the architecture, literature, and paintings, but it just shows there's that lurking of people interested in decay and death.
Totally. It's never gone away as a thing that people are interested in. Do text us as well, 5395. Goth? Yes, no, goth memories? As well, I want to know about the Auckland goth scene.
So if you want to know how to dress this morning, big black hair.
Okay.
Not just black hair, big.
Big black hair.
Lots of black makeup, like your lipstick and your brows and your eyeliner. But pale skin. Fishnets, chunky shoes, which are coming back in anyway.
Yeah.
That's right, goths
your
don't wear flats.
Your creepers in your docks.
No flats.
Someone said the best genre of all.
Wow.
Hey, I love goth, I've got to say. Big part of my heart.
If it's an ongoing thing, what makes a goth song goth?
It is about this intention and this connection to the culture. I don't think you get just... I mean, goths will call stuff goth. There was a Pitchfork cartoon and it was saying Kanye's goth. So goths will find goth everywhere.
Yeah.
But I think there is sort of a musical lineage.
Sound.
And another thing I found weird is everybody kept calling it post-punk. And it did grow out of like the punk milieu in London at that time.
Mm.
But musically, I kept finding, you know, it's Jim Morrison and Leonard Cohen, that introspective existentialism.
Yeah.
Depravity and nihilism. So... because it's not like punk where you sort of anarchy and energy So,
but goth is so danceable. That's the other thing. Well,
that's
80s
the
goth.
Weird
80s
thing.
80s goth is so danceable.
I know, right?
Somebody's texted in Sisters of Mercy dancing already.
It was a space. You know, so there was a club in around 1982 called the Bat Cave in London, in Soho, and it was for freaks, weirdos, and sexual deviants. And it was the
sounds like fun.
That's right. So that's you. And it was the start of sort of indie dance music that wasn't disco, it wasn't funk.
So do you think it's got a poppy element to it?
I think the poppy element
to say?
Definitely allowed it to leak into the mainstream, which some people feel was a bad thing, right? Because apparently, so the spectrum is you get mall goths and posers, which are the fakers, and then you then you get the uber goths.
What makes a mall goth and a poser?
They just purchase it at Hot Topic.
I see.
They don't live goth.
They're not true.
They
don't
look
goth.
Yeah,
they just,
yeah.
And so,
wow, I just don't know if I know the difference, if I'm honest.
So goth movies, David Bowie and The Hunger, anything Tim Burton.
Oh, yeah.
And so Anne
Rice. Neil Gaiman.
Oh, yes, absolutely. He
big
was
time
on some list.
Sandman comics, those are big-time goth hours.
And then apparently in the 70s, around the same time, too, Anne Rice was writing these vampire books. And it was that sort of, you know, sexual as well. Now, here's another thing, and that punk didn't do this either, is that goth was queer.
Oh, yeah.
It was for polyamorous, you know, bondage, S&M, and then pagans. And so, whereas punk kind of got kind of, you know, masculine and sort of binary, you know, that goth really was for the weird. And I think that gets lost too.
I am pulling up the next track by Dead Can Dance, as many people have already texted in, Dead Can Dance, Dead Can Dance.
Someone said we should wash our hands of goth music.
I don't agree. I disagree with your friend.
I just thought, you know, we are having
disagree.
A lot of positive texts, but there's some people don't
some
like
people
goth.
Some people don't like goth, that's
and that's fine. That's the point of this segment, you know?
Exactly. This track is called The Host of Seraphim. This is a very cool text. Somebody has said the best goth place, I'm assuming this is in Auckland, oh yeah, it would be, was Bob's on High Street in the late 80s, early 90s, and in Hotel Debrett's Total Bat Cave. We're all rising from our crypts.
So you can hear, you know, you do get the dancier ones, there's, you know, slightly rockier ones, and but they did really get into sort of industrial electronic music. So it's not like a homogenous musical genre.
This you might shame me for this question, but does goth
never
does goth and emo cross over?
Yes.
Okay.
Emo was the 90s and looked like goth in many ways, but some goths believe it's not.
It's quite, it's more, kind
like
of a different
goth?
Vibe.
That's their mall goths.
The mall goths.
And, you know, I don't know if it's just sort of a mean generational thing, not accepting, you know, younger ones picking something up and doing it a little differently.
Yeah.
But emo was more homogenous musically, whereas we can hear this scene is really diverse.
Really diverse. Mm. Someone's sent in an interesting text saying that they reckon the Damned are the through line from punk to goth, which I think is pretty fair.
Okay. Yeah, that's good, because I've found it kind of hard. I just feel like they're quite different, but they're always linked.
I guess they're all sort of coming out at a similar era where they're pushing against established music.
You're right.
And that's come before.
You know, it's just sort of alternate responses to the same sorts of social.
Totally. And I guess in some ways there is a lot of overlap with post-punk and goth, and also with that kind of like thing that becomes Morrissey and the Smiths and all of that sort of 90s shoegaze sound. Someone's pointed out, and Amelia was talking about this yesterday as well, the Cocteau Twins were original goths, and then all those shoegaze bands in the 90s were like, actually no, we just want to sound like the Cocteau Twins, we're gonna just do that thing.
Someone said bring back the goth ball.
Yeah, hardcore. I remember that. Now, dissing goth is fine, obviously people can diss whatever they want, but goths do and did receive a lot of bullying.
Yeah, no, hugely, hugely stigmatized.
You know, which is, I guess, about that dare to be different. Like, fine, be goth, be weird.
Yeah.
But for some reason, people still sometimes can't handle people being individuals.
Yeah. And also, especially think about America with all of their satanic panic stuff that went on, where they were genuinely freaking out about people dressing like this or behaving in this way. And it was this hysteria that just like swept the country. It truly was like a big deal.
Yeah. Someone texted in saying an 80s goth DJ recently started a revival in Melbourne, now labelled the grave scene. Like goth rave.
Goth rave, nice.
Oh, I love the grave. Which is quite cool.
Somebody else has said UK Decay, Fields of the Nephilim, Ghost Dance, The Mission, goth was/is awesome.
I liked this quote. Goth is an aesthetic. It's a way of seeing the world and a way of being seen.
Ooh. I like that.
I really liked that one.
I also like, you know, so many poets come into goth as well. All those romantics that you were talking about. Yeah. You got Byron, you got Shelley, you got
So it does
these...
have like a literature edge, which we don't see in a lot of pop music, let's be honest. You know? So yeah, and you know, emos were into poetry as well.
This is, I just want to say, a big banger. Capital B for both of those.
So this is Susie.
Susie and the Banshees. I have gone to two parties dressed as Susie and the Banshees.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's the queen of goth and, you know, kind of invented the hair and makeup. And this song, Cities in Dust, is about Pompeii.
See, so again, it's got those classical elements.
So the characteristics that I guess are supposed to be there is introspective, romantic lyrics. You know, that voice is more Jim Morrison-y, Leonard Cohen-y voices. And they did. They played with synths and sort of synthy-sounding guitars as well.
Yeah. This has also got, like, a real pop hook, this song.
Yeah.
And this is a perfect example of, like, I guess the synergy between punk and goth. Susie was a punk. She hung out with all of the Sex Pistols. She was part of, like, the Slits kind of crowd. And she was sort of, for want of a better word, a bit of a groupie almost. Like, she just hung out with them and went to their gigs and did stuff. There's, like, that very iconic video you can find on YouTube if you want to have a look for it later. And it's of the Sex Pistols doing a television interview, and Susie's there before she was like Susie and the Banshees. She's standing in the background, and she's just like one of their like mates who's just there, and she kind of gets interviewed like she's a fan, and I'm like, that's Susie.
Oh, I found a good quote that about contemporary goth saying, it's still around, it's better than alive.
Ooh.
It's undead.
We have had two texts in about the goths on South Park. Two separate people being like, South Park goths. You know who loves Susie? Susie and the Banshees? Rob Bollocks. Big Susie and the Banshees fan.
Now, one thing I read was that this OG goth is either called traditional goth or dark wave. It, I guess in order to differentiate it into how diverse it sort of became with emo and with the sort of more electronica, you know, sort of industrial and that sort of thing.
Oh, here we go. Somebody's texted in. I was a punk new... it's Richard. Morena Richard has texted in saying, I was a punk new wave dude listening to The Cure back in the day, and then they became goth. Yeah, The Cure were one of the songs that we had on here. Someone else has pointed out Joy Division as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, they get a lot of credit in the scene.
I like this text. Someone
for the
said,
sound.
I went from hardcore straight edge kid to goth in one night after one sip of red wine and a sit in a park bench in a graveyard. It just shifted my perspective.
That's a beautiful story. I think you should write it into lyrics.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like a goth song waiting to be written. And so somebody said emo is goth's annoying little brother.
That's cute. I like it.
I gotta say, I got a lot of time for emo, though. No shade to emo from me. But it is. It's part of that lineage, but also people like to have their camp, you know? They're
I don't know if that's a bad thing, because if it's like your little brother, you still love it, you know?
Yeah, you just got a slightly fraught relationship.
They're just not
doing
it right.
Yeah, yeah.
Pull your ponytail or something.
Yeah.
I love the bells.
Yeah, it's great.
But, you know, movies about vampires, ghosts, you know, religion, blasphemy, never go out. I mean, we've always had that layer. There's that fascination with, you know, dark things.
Spooky things.
It's an aspect of humanity.
It's quite a long-living genre, isn't it?
It really is. And yeah. I think because it is both, it's the genre, it's a style, it's an aesthetic. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, and not obviously everybody takes it on fully. Some can just
part-time
golf. Like an ocean. Some people can stand on the beach, some people can dip their toe in, and some can go swimming.
That's beautiful, Kirsten. Wow.
Thank you very much for that, Kirsten. Lovely to have you in the studio this morning talking about goth. I knew this was going to be a big BFM
fave. What's next week?
Well, a weird little genre that I hadn't heard of much growing up. It's called go-go, and it's a Washington, D.C. kind of funk phenomenon.
I have no idea what that is.
I know. No,
I'm very excited.
Washington, D.C. funk.
Sounds very fun. Thank you very much, Kirsten.
That was Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimpke.
It certainly